Good morning. I hope you can all hear me okay. Everything stopped abruptly there, so I'm taking it. We're at 10:30. It's time to start. Can everybody hear me? Excellent. Okay. It's very difficult when I'm just faced with all these people and no noise. Very quite unnerving. I hope you're all well. It's a beautiful morning outside. My name is Emma McDonald. I'm sure that I've seen most of you, or most of you have seen me. By now, I'm your interim moderator for the length of your vacancy. Hopefully that'll be quite short, but for the length of your vacancy, you have me as your interim moderator. And I'm very glad to be with you this morning. So let's start this morning. Let's start this morning with some words from the Psalms. I'm from Psalm 150. We hear a few of these words. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let's stop for a moment of prayer. Let's pray. Oh, God of life, whose love enfolds us and spirit fills us, this morning we gather to praise you. God of joy, whose sunrise wakes us, whose creation astounds us, and whose sunsets amaze us, we offer our praise to you. God of all hope, whose promise sustains us, whose presence strengthens us, and power upholds us, we praise you. God of all love, whose patience humbles us and touch can heal us, we praise you. God of peace, who breaks down barriers and walls that divide us, we praise you. God of eternity, who has always loved us and by grace has saved us through Jesus' death and resurrection, we cannot help but praise you. As we gather for this time of worship, we pray, Lord, open our hearts to you, incline our ears to listen for your voice, and may your peace and presence, your inspiration and encouragement be found in all that is said and done and left unspoken in our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It takes us to our first praise this morning. Creation sings the Father's song.
Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn, and on the course of day, falls in crimson gray. His fingerprints in flakes of snow, his breath upon the spinning gold. He charges the eagles fly, commands the newborn babies cry. Alleluia! Let all creation stand and sing. That rage
of her pains, of her coming age. When he renews the land and sky, all heaven will sing with every fly, with one resplendent beam, the glory of our God and King. Alleluia, let all creation stand and sing.
Now, I was hoping we were going straight to whoever was reading this morning.
Right.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. So today's reading is taken from the book of Genesis in chapter 12, reading verses 1 to 9. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev.
Thank you. My apologies, Ursula. I should have asked when we had that chat at the start about what we did. So my apologies. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to share the screen I'm a very visual person, and so as I talk, I like to put up images to allow people to reflect and to think about what's going on, and maybe to allow you to have some memories as well come into everything that's going on this morning. So are we able to share my screen? Right, let me just see. There we go. Wait, that one. Right, hopefully. Can you see that? Yeah, excellent. Okay. That's super. Right, bear with me for one little second to try and get this away. Okay, that's wonderful. From the beginning. Right, hopefully you can all see that and you can all hear me. So the text, as we heard this morning, is about a journey of stages taken in faith. Today we are introduced to Abraham. I think it's a wonderful picture of him and the stars and the sky, as he is called. Now, we are told very little of who he is at this point in the Bible and why God has intervened in his life. What we do know from chapter 11 is that Abraham is married to Sarai, and he and his father and his nephew Lot have travelled from their home in Ur to Haran. Now, the Jewish Virtual Library says this of Abraham: he was born in the city of Ur in Babylonia. He was a son of Terah, and according to Jewish tradition, he questioned from early childhood the faith of his father, who was an idol maker. We're told that Abraham believed the entire universe was the work of a single creator. I love that the Jewish people have stories for everything, and they're a storytelling nation. And so from the Jewish Virtual Library, the story goes on, and it says this: that Abraham tried to convince his father of the folly of idol worship. And one day, when called to mind the store alone, he took a hammer and he smashed all of the idols except the largest one. He placed the hammer in the handle of the largest idol, and on his father's return, when asked what happened, Abraham replied that the idols got into a fight and the big one smashed all the little ones. And his father said, "Don't be ridiculous. These idols have no life or power. They can't do anything." Then Abraham replied, "Why do you worship them?" Clearly, Abraham knew, or he knew of God at this point of his call. Now, here's a question for you. If your husband, your wife, or your friend came to you and said, "God has told me we are to leave our home, our extended family, and we're to go where he tells us," what do you think the response of your spouse or friend would be, honestly? We would like to think it would be okay, and we would recognise God's call on our lives. But honestly, who wouldn't, among you and amongst myself included, wouldn't start the response to such a statement with, "Are you sure? Are you feeling okay? Perhaps we should give it a few months to pray about." If your spouse or friend said such a thing, you'd want to know where you were going. You'd want to know how long you'd be gone for. You'd want to know when you would return. You'd want to know at least what you should pack. You'd want to know at least what you should pack, where you're going to get your food from, what currency you need, and maybe what languages you should brush up. Now, if you're going on holiday for a week, how long do you need to pack? Probably just a few hours. If you're moving house, how long would you need to pack? Probably several days over the space of maybe weeks. But what if you knew you were never coming back? How long would it take you then to decide what to keep, what to throw away, or what to take with you? Now, we don't get all of those details in the Bible, but I'm sure those conversations would have taken place. We don't know how long it took Abraham to tell Sarai and Lot after God instructed him to go, and we don't know how long it took them to be ready to leave. Just at some point they did. Before Abraham and his family went, there would have been much preparation. Today, the congregation of the steeple became officially vacant due to Robert's retirement. It's a horrible word to use, as it implies the church is empty and nothing's going on. But clearly that's not true. Now, some of you may think that the next step is a new minister. Actually, the next step is a time of prayer and preparation so that you can go into the places that God will call you as a congregation, and then go further perhaps into different places when your vacancy is finally filled. there is still work for the Kirk session to do with regards to the vacancy. I'm going to update you with that in a little bit. But let's go back. Think about the last time you went on holiday. What was more important, the destination or the journey there? Well, without the journey, you wouldn't have got to your destination. And yet I'm sure most of us dislike the journey part. But I wonder how many times you have met someone or something happened on your journey to or from a place that you remember and talked about long after you finished talking about the holiday. Maybe it was a person from Dundee you met on the other side of the world. Maybe it was the detour. Maybe it was seeing something that you hadn't expected to see or learn something you never knew, which has stayed with you since. And sometimes we get so caught up in our destination. We get caught up in what will happen there, what we will see, how we will feel once we get there, that perhaps we don't enjoy the journey or understand the significance of the encounters along the way. One of the things that God revealed to Abraham was his vision for Abraham's life, that God would make him into a great nation and he would bless him. God's way for Abraham was a way of blessing. He would be blessed and all peoples through him. Abraham trusted that which had been revealed to him enough to leave the land and make a journey of several stages, possibly over several months or longer. How much easier must it have been for him knowing that God wanted to bless him and others through him? And I wonder, do we listen to or live in God's way enough to be a blessing to others? Abraham travelled from the familiar to the unfamiliar. And at each stage in the journey, he set up an altar and worshipped God. You can see more or less his journey down the left-hand side of the map there, from Ur and from Haran right down to Shechem. You can see how far it is and how long it would have taken him. He was probably originally from Ur, way down here and to the right of your screen at the bottom, and so he started off from Haran in chapter 12. He travelled from the familiar to the unfamiliar, and at each stage in the journey, as I said, he set up an altar and he worshipped God. Abraham didn't wait until he reached his final destination before he worshipped God. He did it at each stage. Each stage, a visible marker of his worship, an altar was left able to be seen by people who didn't know God. Now, clearly, the altar was much bigger than this small pile of stones, but even small things are noticeable. As the journey towards filling your vacancy begins, what are the visible markers of your life as a congregation? What are the visible markers of your life as individuals? And what are they saying about God and your faith in him to the outside world? Again, we aren't told how long Abraham was in each place, but I'm sure at each place he stopped and reflected on where they had come from, whom they had met, and conversations they had together, what God had taught them, and the possibilities of where God would take them. Now, Robert and Leslie have only been away about 2 weeks now, and although everyone is keen for the next step, it's good to pause and reflect where you have been together, to reflect on the ministry that you were engaged in together, what God has taught you, before you imagine the possibilities of where God will take you. Godly Play is a story-based ministry for children that finds its roots in a particular way of teaching children through play. The screen that you can see there is of what's called a desert bag. It's a bag filled with sand, and in it there's many stories that can be told using small figures. It allows the children visually to see the story taking place before them. The story of Abraham and Sarah is told with what is, as I say, a desert bag and figures, and the sand is moved through the storyteller's fingers, and the storyteller talks of the desert and the dangers of being in the desert, the dangers of being in somewhere that is unfamiliar. As the story is told, the figures are walked through the sand to the next place, and so the altars are built in the story, so small stones are placed in a pile to mark the altar. It's very, very impactful. It really gets you and draws you into the story. You can see where they've come from and where they're going. And at each stage, you can see the visible markers of altars that they have left. During the telling of the story to the children, the teacher continually talks about the dangers of the desert, the dangers of wandering off, of not listening for God. Journeys, as we know, can have unexpected dangers and detours. The Jewish people, in a time long after Abraham, would come to know the dangers of the desert, the uncertainties of life lived there, but they would also come to know and rely on the provision of God. We can make plans, we can be determined, we will adhere to time schedule and set our eyes towards a destination. But if it's not God's will, then do we really want to stick to our plans? Vacancies can be like deserts with great uncertainty, where we must rely on God's provision and revelation. And going back to the story of Abraham and thinking about your story of faith, individually and collectively, where would the places of worship be? Where would the places of revelation in your journey be? Where would the places that you just wanted to get to the next step be? Each person's story is different. And yet, as a congregation, you are interwoven in those stories. There may be differences of opinion and theology, differences of background and life experience here. But in Christ, you are one and all are important. And you should be aware of the vacancy process and the part that you will play in it, because there are choices ahead for you all. Abraham trusted in God's timing and God's revelation, and we all need to live likewise, to place our trust in God, to place our trust in his revelation and his leading. Abraham listened to God's promises and trusted in them, and to an extent, the world changed. I wonder what God is revealing and promising in faith to the congregation of the steeple. And only you, as part of that congregation, can answer that. The journey before you will have many steps. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said that faith is taking the first step, even when you can't see the rest of the staircase. Abram stepped out in faith, not knowing where he would go and how long it would take to get him there. He didn't know who he would encounter and what God would reveal to him along the way. He placed his faith and his trust in God. It's a great example to us all. Now, there's a beautiful old poem that was read by King George VI on Christmas Eve in 1939. I'm going to read just a small extract of it to you. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. Much may be uncertain in our journey of faith and in this journey of vacancy. But what is certain is that the journey we take from here, we take in the best of company when we take it with God. Abraham knew this and lived into this reality. We may not know the destination at this stage, but we can be assured that God does. And in God's good timing, he will reveal all to us as we take the next and every step into his future. Amen. Prayers for others. Thank you, Rosalind.
There is a time for everything. Everything on earth has its special season. That's a little piece from Ecclesiastes. Holy Father, you have made and maintain this earth. Guide us in the years you give us, in our involvement in the lives of others, whether we like them or not, or know them or not. Dear God, we pray most sincerely for men and women and children in lands overseas. There is a time for everything. And this time of grief and heartbreak is for India and Nepal and Pakistan, a terrible time. Thousands are ill. Thousands have died. Their bereft families plead for help. Dear God, hear and assist them. Lord God, we ask your comfort for Israel, men and boys dead and injured. Support their grieving wives and mothers and siblings. Give determination to those who know of unsafe places to press and act for safekeeping. There is a time for everything. Father God, for Yemen, we ask, do our hearts and minds become numbed to the sight and sound of hungry children? Forgive us if this is so. Wake us up from our inaction. For Mali, Father, the United Nations peacekeeping forces there, they need your help as they seek to protect the helpless from force and brutality. The destruction of homes and hospitals and schools in Syria. Millions are displaced. Give strength to any in that land who have righteous concern and authority to act. There is a time for everything. Dear God, we ask you to guide the government of our land in its conscience as overseas aid is funding has been cut so severely. We have prayed and asked for Syria, Mali, Israel, Yemen. You know what's going on in these lands and all nations. There is a time for everything. I pray, Lord God, that you would give heart and energy and strength to those who can bring remedy. Dear God, we ask for our country, the elections next week. Lead us in our choices for men and women to serve with integrity and quiet honour. Thank you for days ahead as we look forward to more time with families and dear friends. The coronavirus has highlighted much in our society. Points of danger and safety, areas of want and warm support. Thank you for medical staff and volunteers who have worked on through days and nights of exhaustion. Scientists who have set aside projects to concentrate on the development of vaccines. Bless those who live in care homes, the frail and confused, unvisited. Open the doors, Father, for family and friends to come in and reassure with their presence. There is a time for everything. Everything on earth has its special season. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for Robert and for Leslie Ann, the years they have spent teaching and befriending us. Bless them with rest and health in their new home. And we pray for Emma as she walks with us in this special time. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Just before we get to our final praise this morning, I have a couple of things that I need to bring you up to date with. Before we get to our vacancy update, I have what's called a citation to the congregation to read to you. I will read it and the person who's with you next week will read it also. And it says this, a citation to the congregation. Notice is hereby given that the Presbytery will meet by Zoom on Wednesday the 12th of May 2021 at 7:30 p.m. to deal with the trial of the Reverend A. Robert Calvert, BSc, BD, BDM, and that if any commissioners wish to appear to represent the congregation, they should log on 10 minutes prior to the due time. Now, there is an ID password, an ID number, and also a password provided as well. So if anybody wishes to do that, please be in touch with Robert and he'll be able to give you those details so that you can log in to the presbytery meeting in 2 weeks' time. Again, you'll be reminded of this next week you'll be reminded of this next week. Okay, so what we thought we'd do this morning is just before we finish is give you an update with regards to the vacancy. So the Kirk session, you will be delighted to know, have been working extremely hard. Robert was kind enough to allow us to begin the vacancy process before he retired. And that means that we're quite far along from where we would be in terms of all that is required of us to do. The members and the adherence roll has been checked and updated and has been sent to Presbytery. Parish profile is nearing completion and once finalised will be sent to the Vacancy Advisory Committee to sign off. Then it can be placed on both the National Church website and the Steeple Church website. The Kirk Session have decided that the congregation will maintain the traditional position of the Church of Scotland when it comes to the 2015 legislation. Kirk Session will meet next week and hopefully we'll be able to finalise a parish profile and begin the work of electing an nomination committee. Now, I'm sure we have all heard enough of elections this week, but the election of the nomination committee is a step closer to being able to receive, actually, the formation and the election of the nomination committee means that you will be a step closer to being able to receive and deal with applications and interviews concerning potential candidates. Now, the nomination committee can be made up of either 9, 11 or 13 members. And when we have our meeting next week, we will decide which number we would like and we will run that past the Vacancy Advisory Committee. In the next few weeks, you will be asked whether you wish to put forward a name for consideration to serve on the nomination committee for the length of the vacancy. Please only do so if you have prayerfully considered who might be suitable and feel moved to do so. It is important that anyone who is putting forward someone else's name has spoken to that person first so it doesn't come as a bit of a surprise to them. It may be that they are willing and maybe that they cannot at this time, and that's okay, but please check with them before you put their name forward. As I say, we will agree the number to serve next week and then we will come back and let you know what that number is. If there are more names than the required number put forward for the nomination committee, then there will be a vote required to decide who will serve. And once the nomination committee is formed, then they will take over the work of the vacancy and the Kirk Session as a body will not be involved except for those who have been elected to the nomination committee. As we go forward, we will keep you updated as best we can. And as you can see, there is a lot going on. And so I would ask that you pray for the work of those who are involved in the vacancy and when formed that of the nomination committee. Now, if there are any questions going forward, please direct them to Tom or to myself and we'll do our very best to answer them. But we hope that we will be able to bring you a kind of update like this every so often, just so that you know what's going on at each stage of the process. Right, I think I've talked way too much this morning and I think that's all you need to know for that. So that will take us to our final phrase this morning. Be thou my vision.
Thank you.
As you go into this week, may the love of God circle you. May the peace and presence of Christ enfold you. May the inspiration and the comfort of the Holy Spirit surround you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming together today for worship. I think you're all going to go into your various breakout rooms just now.